Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. Tonight's encore presentation is from Circle Craft Studies from 2012, where Selena discussed the folklore and ritual uses of the sacred plants of the winter solstice.
Good evening. Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to explore sacred plants of winter solstice. When you think about winter solstice, what are some of the plants that come to mind? Evergreens, fir, pine, cedar, juniper, spruce are some of the evergreens that are associated with this holiday. But there are other plants as well, and we'll be exploring some of those plants tonight, as well as we will look at some ways to use them for Yuletide celebrations. We call on the spirit of winter solstice. We call on the green spirit that is vegetation that is green and represents the continuity of life. We call on our memories of Yuletide past, Yuletide present, and Yuletide future. We celebrate winter solstice and the sacred plants that are part of winter solstice present, winter solstice past, and winter solstice future. There are different types of pagan Yuletide greenery for winter solstice. Probably the most well-known is that of the Yule tree. Now, some people call these trees that are brought into the home or living trees that are decorated outside the home and in other places, Yule trees, holiday trees, solstice trees, Christmas trees. They go by a variety of different names, but they all have their origins back in ancient times when evergreens were associated with the celebration of winter solstice. Yes, even before the winter solstice got intertwined with religious and secular Christmas. We have a Yule tree in our home every year, and at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we also have a Yule tree. And we have evergreens outside that we also work with in connection with the holidays. When did Yule trees start being decorated? When did they start being part of these holiday celebrations? Well, there are a lot of different viewpoints on that. Certainly, there are accounts from ancient times of humans celebrating seasonal holidays around trees, decorating trees. But the custom that is widespread at winter solstice time and Christmas time really came into vogue during the middle 1800s. The Victorian era in England when Queen Victoria and Prince Albert started popularizing the old custom of bringing a cut tree that had been living into the home and decorating that. And what's wonderful today is that Yule trees, by whatever name they are called, are in many places now, and they have become a focal point for many people's winter solstice, Christmas, New Year's celebration. There are different types of evergreens. Fir and spruce and pine are common ones that people use. Some people prefer to have a tree that's a symbolic tree, a created tree, that isn't actually a tree that's been grown, but a tree that's been manufactured to serve as a Yuletide tree. As I was growing up, one of the ways that tree symbols came into being was aluminum trees, and now there's trees made of a variety of different materials. There's some debate about what is the greener alternative in terms of having a tree as part of a winter solstice celebration. And certainly there's something to be said about sustainable agriculture, supporting farms that grow trees specifically for the purpose of being harvested and used in connection with the holiday celebrations each December up here in the Northern Hemisphere. And so I'm inclined to see that actually working with supporting agriculture and tree farming and preserving green space in that way, especially when that tree farming is engaged in sustainable practice, agricultural practice, is really a very good way to go. There's something also to be said, though, for having a tree that is manufactured tree, a tree symbol that's used year after year after year, as long as that tree continues to be in good shape and passed on and continues to be used. Unfortunately, many of the artificial trees are only used a few years and then they end up in landfills, and therefore that does add to some problems regarding that piece. But increasingly, people are paying attention to the environmental impact of the various plants that one uses in connection with holiday celebrations. What we do with our Yule trees when Yuletide has passed is to have them outside as shelter for creatures, and then after a time, having them burned in a grand bonfire. So there's different ways of working with trees and tree traditions. Some other ways of connecting with sacred plants of winter solstice has to do with working with a wreath or a series of wreaths, having a evergreen wreath on the front door of a home, having them inside, working with both fresh wreaths as well as artificial wreaths that convey the spirit of the Yuletide, that wreath representing the wheel of the year, and having that being present around the home is a wonderful way to add to the beauty of holiday decorating. When you're talking about greenery, there's four different types. There's living, such as bringing in an actual living tree that has not been harvested. One year we had a rosemary plant that had been shaped in the form of a tree, and we had that and then kept it and were able to use that as an herb after it stopped being a rosemary tree. Then there's the cut greenery that's kept fresh. This might be freshly cut holly that's put in a vase and kept fresh that way, or some other plants that have been grown for the purpose and cut and kept as decorations. Then we have cut and dried. So the greenery has been cut, such as a sprig of mistletoe, and then hung up fresh, and then it dries, and it's kept in that fashion, not only for Yuletide, but year-round. Then the representational, which is manufactured greenery, either that is put in a form to look like greenery or it symbolizes greenery. It might be made out of other kinds of materials and shapes and colors. Whatever forms that you choose to use, it's good to pay attention to why you're choosing that and to attend to your greenery and your other winter solstice plants throughout the season. I went to undergraduate school in Williamsburg, Virginia. I was at the College of William and Mary. If you get a chance to go to Williamsburg in December, you may find it to be a wonderful treat to travel back in time to the 1700s, early stage of America and Virginia, and look at all the decorations from for winter solstice time and Christmas. Back in that era, it was very common to use greens and a variety of plants to celebrate the season. And those that care for the plants and the decorations in Colonial Williamsburg keep them fresh throughout a month-long celebration, replacing greens and other plant materials with fresh ones, and they use a lot of fresh greenery. It's really quite wonderful. Let's take a little look at some of the sacred uses of sacred plants of winter solstice. They're used to decorate a place. They are used in ceremony. They can be used in preparations of holiday feasting, such as some of the fruits. I make wassail every year, and in addition to spicing the cider, I put in freshly cut up apples to add to the taste, as well as some frozen berries. So being able to use that as part of the feasting is a great thing. And another possible use is that of gifts, of actually gifting others with one or more sacred plants of winter solstice. I'd like to spend a few moments now talking about some of the lore and some of the specific plants that are connected with this holiday. Frankincense, which figures into the Christian Christmas story as one of the gifts of the Magi to the young Christ child, actually had a connection with winter solstice and the sun in pagan cultures and religions before Christianity took form. In ancient Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, amongst the Greeks and the Romans, frankincense has been used as a ceremonial incense. it's commonly connected in the past and in the present with the sun. It has many uses. It is a good purifying incense, clearing away negativity, illness, and it also, in that regard, can consecrate a place, not only driving away negativity, but uplifting the spirits of a place. It is an incense connected with protection. And one reason it is burned commonly in ceremonies across many different religious traditions is because it's connected with spiritual illumination. Frankincense can come in different forms for use. The form that I use the most is the gum resin form, where beads of frankincense are harvested from the frankincense tree. It's liquid gum resin that actually takes form. But in addition to gum resin, which can be fumed over one of those self-igniting charcoal blocks that are available at metaphysical shops and church supply shops, in addition to fuming frankincense in that way, there are a number of different incenses, joss sticks and cone incense and other forms of incense where the frankincense scent and or actual materials are woven into the compound that is then kindled. Another way that frankincense can be used is as an oil, and that oil may take the form of a scent in a candle or a scent that is put in an oil diffuser or in the form of a perfume that may be sprayed or in other ways put within to a space. Frankincense is a way for welcoming in the winter solstice sun. Certainly it can be burned to bless a place. It also can be burned as an offering to honor and welcome in the newborn winter solstice sun. Another sacred plant of winter solstice is that of the holly. The holly typically has an all-green leaf, although there are variegated ones where it's green and white, and red berries. And the holly has been used since ancient pagan times to represent the old solar year that is waning. It's the sun in the final stages of its life before the new solar year begins. Holly has been used to deck the halls across different cultures and times. For the Romans, at their Saturnalia, much holly was used. Holly was connected with the god Saturn, the god of agriculture, and also has had association with the winter solstice time and with other sacred forms. In Old England, there were holly boys, and the holly king, who figures in the lore of the old sun and solar year passing, and that being in contact with the new solar year, the oak. In fact, at the winter solstice pageant that Circle Sanctuary holds every year in Madison, Wisconsin, we have an enactment of the Holly King and the Oak King doing a mock battle. And of course, for winter solstice, the Oak King always wins because the holly is the old sun passing and the oak king represents the new solar year coming. Holly can be put in wreaths. It may be put in vases, may be put over doorways. Sometimes holly is fashioned into a crown. Some figures of Santa have a holly crown, and that really harkens back to its connection with Saturn and the Saturnalia. And holly continues to be used in contemporary pagan celebrations of winter solstice as well as Christian celebrations of Christmas. It's a wonderful plant to have. I have artificial representational holly rings around a number of candles that I have as a decorative piece to represent this holiday time. Talking about holly does lead us into the oak, symbolizing the new solar year, the waxing sun. Some of the ways that oak figures into winter solstice decorations is actually acorns that are being placed in bowls and acorn ornaments on Yule trees. Those are some ways that oak takes the form. But perhaps the one that's most commonly used for oak is the Yule log. And that's a tradition that we have in our own household as well as at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve with our annual pagan Yuletide celebration. We kindle a very large log of oak to represent the new solar year coming. Burning oak in fires at winter solstice can be a really powerful way of connecting with the holiday. Sometimes we decorate our Yule log with dried holly sprigs so that we have both the old year passing as well as the new year coming. We also have thrown into a winter solstice fire acorns with wishes for the new solar year. Mistletoe is common to many winter solstice celebrations. It is a symbol of peace, prosperity, well-being, healing, fertility. It also can represent protection and rest. It may be hung in the form of a sprig above a doorway as an amulet. Fresh mistletoe gathered together may be put in a silver or pewter kissing ball, which may be hung up in an entranceway of a home or at a threshold. The idea of kissing under the mistletoe has its roots in the old pagan custom of making pledges under mistletoe and making peace treaties under mistletoe. Well, there is a whole fertility and joy connected with mistletoe as well. And that is a plant that is probably most known for the kissing rather than the peacemaking, but all of those are part of its winter solstice heritage. Ivy, you may have heard the carol, the holly and the ivy. Well, the ivy is another plant connected with winter solstice, and in particular, it has associations with Dionysus, the a Greek god, and Bacchus, a Roman god, both of whom have had connections with winter solstice time. It also is connected with the great goddess. And there are some traditions in Old England of having ivy girls who are part of celebrations, just as holly boys are. Ivy can take the form of wreaths or being added to wreaths. It can be in garlands. It sometimes is added to crowns. And it represents the greening of life and the continuity of life year-round. And I have Baltic ivy as well as some English ivy growing outside at my home. And even in the depths of Wisconsin winter, I have some ivy and some bit of greenery to be able to look at during the winter time. Another plant connected with winter solstice is wheat. And wheat sheaves are sometimes given as gifts. Wheat weavings may be given as gifts, not only to bless the home, but to convey good luck, good fortune. Wheat symbolizes sustenance, abundance, fertility, good fortune. Certainly, there's a lot of baking going on at this time of year, and wheat flour is used for lots of pastries and cookies and cakes and bread. Some fashion straw figures and symbols of Yuletide out of wheat. And wheat also is linked in with some winter solstice divinities. In particular, not only Saturn in Old Rome, but his partner, Ops, the goddess of plenty, who gives us the root word for opulent. In Teutonic, Scandinavian, and Germanic countries, wheat often is put around the home to represent abundance. In Sweden, straw is fashioned into what's known as the Yule goat, sometimes seen as a gift bringer, sometimes linked with Thor, the old pagan god. Wheat is a wonderful plant year-round, and its tradition does continue to its present day. And looking at evergreens again and their representation of the continuity of life, the really fragrant greens can really be a blessing to the house, having that wonderful smell, whether it is coming from a Yule tree or freshly cut greens. Having garlands of greens, actual greens or representational greens, can be a wonderful way to adorn a home. And there's now many different places selling harvested trees also have evergreen garlands available as well as wreaths. And in working with evergreens, a tradition that we do at Circle Sanctuary, and I do in my own home, which is through the woods and up the hill next door, as Yuletide ends, we gather the greens up and put them in a place where they dry for a few weeks, and then at Imbolc time, we burn the greens, representing the turning of the wheel. Some things to share now regarding sacred plants winter solstice includes looking at ways of working with these plants for gift giving. One way is to have a living plant. In more contemporary times, poinsettia or poinsettia, depending on your preference of pronunciation, plants, which really are popular and have their roots down in Mexico and some warmer climes, but are now grown in greenhouses in many places throughout the U.S. and some other parts of the world, that can make a wonderful gift, having some type of herb plant or a fashioned wreath, such as a bayberry wreath or a holly wreath, an evergreen wreath. Those all can be used as gifts. One of the gifts that we give out every year are mistletoe sprigs. We have fresh mistletoe that is harvested in a sacred way from Crone's Cradle Conserve down in Florida. The sister center, and we really appreciate having the mistletoe shipped up to us every year. We keep it in a cool place until our winter solstice pageant, and then literally we get several hundred amulet sprigs from all the mistletoe that we are gifted with, and we place them on a great altar, and it absorbs all of the good energy of our ceremonial evening. And then at the end of our winter solstice pageant, following our meditation for world peace and our concluding singing and drumming to welcome in the new year, those who have participated and attended the event all come up and take a sprig home for use to bless one's home for the holiday season. And mistletoe amulets, while they're connected with winter solstice, really are great to have year-round. After they have dried, they actually take more of a golden color. And for that reason, another name for mistletoe is the golden bough. Yule logs not only can be burned in the hearth fire, but for people that don't have a bonfire area near their home or a hearth fire place in their home, can actually take a Yule log and create some holes for taper candles or votive tea lights or other kinds of candles can be set within a Yule log, or a Yule log can be decorated and some candles put right in front of it and used as a centerpiece. So it's not necessary to actually kindle a whole Yule log in a hearth fire or a bonfire in order to have a Yule log tradition. Indeed, most of the people that I know who do Yule log work actually are living in urban areas without a hearth fire and use this symbolic Yule log and candle holder as the means for being able to connect with that tradition. Having greenery, having the lore, sharing the stories and the meanings and some of the myths connected with the sacred plants of winter solstice can be a wonderful addition to solstice celebrations. And doing some type of meditation involving greenery also can be helpful. I invite you now to join me in a short meditation and connecting with the sacred plants of winter solstice. In the next few moments of quiet, take some deep, slow breaths. And let your attention focus on relaxation, and then connecting with the sacred according to your own tradition. and then calling to mind the spirit of winter solstice, of the Yuletide. And now imagine that you have a great cornucopia, a silver cornucopia, a horn of plenty that's starting to form. And as you connect with it, you see within this horn of plenty one or more types of plants of winter solstice. Pay attention to what plant appears first within that horn of plenty. And when you are ready, take that out and hold it for a few moments. Let it be the focus of your attention. Let your connection with that plant of winter solstice bring forth a message. And then set that plant down. Return to the cornucopia and its magic, and another plant appears. Take that forth and in like fashion connect with it and pay attention. To what it has to share. And finally, reaching into the horn of plenty again, another plant of winter solstice emerges. Connect with that. Let it bring you a message. And now imagining you gathering up the three plants that you've worked with and carrying with you the cornucopia, imagine yourself going to a sacred place and setting the plants there along with the cornucopia. And as you do, put forth a wish of well-being for others this Yuletide. And then when you feel complete with that experience, carry with you the memories of what came to mind and an appreciation for plants not only that can enhance winter solstice celebrations as decorations, as ritual tools, but as living spiritual beings that you can connect with and that can help you connect with the spirit of the season. We give thanks to all the plants of winter solstice that we've talked about thus far and that we'll talk about in the next few moments as we move into our discussion time. And I want to welcome into our conversation David and Jeanette Ewing and those who are in live chat who may have some things to contribute. I also welcome you. Well, good Yuletide.
Hello, happy Yuletide.
So thoughts about sacred plants of winter solstice. Do you have a favorite one that you use in your own celebrations?
We've used holly quite a bit. We happen to have, we planted holly bushes quite a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're exceptionally large. The ones that we have growing on the side of our house, they've actually grown very large, and we're actually able to harvest quite a bit of it. So I've done a variety of different things over the years. I might just, like, sprig different places, maybe have them up, like, over the doorways to different entrance areas, things like that. I've made plant displays, taking holly, rosemary that we have growing, and a few other plants, and just making a, you know, a floral display that'll last, you know, a couple of weeks if you tend to it right. Various things like that.
Yeah, one of the things that comes into my household every year is an amaryllis. And I give thanks to my good friend Deborah, who gives me an amaryllis every year, and it's wonderful. We start it growing. It comes, and generally by the time Imbolc comes around, it's burst into bloom, and it can be quite spectacular. So to actually have a plant that's alive and growing that comes in at the Yuletide and then blooms is really a wonderful thing. And I think giving plants can be a fun thing if you have plant lovers in your life. Have any of you done pomanders? It's taking a lemon or an orange, usually it's one or the other, and putting cloves in them and then rolling them in like a spice mixture. It's an old scent ball type of charm, or used to help, I guess you might call it a medieval air freshener. I've used them as decorations on trees. They're pretty labor-intensive to create, but they are a lot of fun. And I still have some of my pomanders from winter solstices years ago that I crafted.
It's interesting that you should mention that. I didn't know about, because you mentioned this last week, and I didn't know about the whole rolling it in crushed spices. I had not done that. I had just, you know, stuffed cloves in it and, you know, wrapped a, like a piece of ribbon around it and, like,
right,
from a doorway or on a tree or whatever.
Yeah.
But the adding the spice part actually is probably better for the fragrant spice end of it. Because I'd always wondered, you know, I'll stick the cloves in there and then, you know, it smells a little bit, but not that much. So I used it mostly for looks, because I had actually rolling it in spices. I mean, it's actually a good
idea.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, and orris root is a really good fixative. So if you're having powdered cinnamon, powdered allspice, powdered nutmeg, and some other spices, if you also put some orris root, powdered orris root in it, it helps the smells, the beautiful aromas stay around longer. So that's another use. And once you've made a pomander, you know, after a while, even with fixative in it, the aroma may start dissipating, well, you can freshen it up by putting a few drops of spiced oil on it.
Right.
Or you can get a new mixture and add another layer. It's really, so one year, it was back in the 1970s, early on, as I was developing winter solstice traditions for my own personal life and household, I made lots of pomanders and gave them as gifts as well as had them on the tree as decoration. Now, some people use bayberry as a winter solstice plant, and I have a bayberry wreath, which I really like, and the bayberry candles made of the scent of bayberry, for many people, says holiday time, Yuletide. I'm wondering if there's any comments, experiences that are being, or questions being shared in the chat room.
Yeah, someone had mentioned they had a poinsettia tree at their mom's house growing up. I know in the past, off and on, we've had poinsettias in the house. Not recently.
I don't think we've ever had a poinsettia in the house.
I thought we had at least
once. No, because they're poisonous.
Yeah, they're poisonous. So, yeah, maybe we haven't. My parents have, but, yeah, because of the whole poison to cats thing.
Yeah, if you have a lot of creatures that live with you, you have to be careful what what sacred plants you have inside and that are real and what are representational, know, how to do that. But, yeah, they actually have been – they're a more recent addition to the holiday season, but is something that's very widespread across America right now. And we certainly have had some of those, and we certainly have had a number of plants. I don't think I've ever seen one really huge because of our climate area. But yeah, I'm wondering too. I posted a photograph of mistletoe on my main Facebook page, and some of the comments of I invite people to share about some of their ways of celebrating winter solstice with sacred plants, and a lot of people are mentioning holly and mistletoe. Some are also mentioning pine and pine cones. And pine cones are wonderful decorations. I like to go and gather pine cones from a place at Circle Sanctuary Land called Spirit Rock. We have such an abundance of pine cones that come from the pine trees up there. And I've given them out as gifts, and we've used them in all sorts of decorations. But a very simple and economical way of doing decoration is to get a basket and put pine cones in it and get sprigs of evergreen and just kind of mix them together. And some people like to take the glass ball ornaments from that are used to decorate Yule trees and also put them in. I have a picture of my pine cones and evergreen sprigs on my Facebook page as an example of how to do work with Yuletide greenery.
One of the things that we've also done is living here where we are at, the Virginia pine is very common, and you can go just about anywhere in any wooded area and get Virginia pine and cedar. It's actually a juniper tree, but it's called Virginia cedar wood, and they're all over the place around here. And I've actually brought those in, too, because, I mean, they're all over the place. I mean, all I have to do is, like, basically walk around the corner, and I live in a suburban area, so that's really nice for those of us who live in suburban areas. It's actually easy here in Northern Virginia, anyway. It's easy to find, as well as lots of pine cones. In fact, I mean, even as we speak, there is a giant pine cone that David was on a trip to San Diego for business, and he was somewhere or other, and his staff...
I was at the old Naval Training Center.
Okay.
It's been turned into some commercial
a mall.
Stuff. Yeah.
And,
shopping and stuff. And I happened to, I was taking a picture of something, and I took a step, and I almost tripped over this huge pine cone. It's like 8 inches tall by about 6 inches across. You know,
wow.
Big pine trees they have out in Southern California. Yeah, so I packed it up, wrapped it in a bag, and packed it up and brought it home for a gift.
So it's sitting on our... on top of our entertainment center.
Yep.
I mean, it's a huge thing. It's bigger than anything that we have around here. So we keep pine cones all over the place. And one of the nice things about bringing evergreens in is that if you have pets, you know, even the cats,
leave them alone.
They do leave them alone. They find the taste objectionable, so they don't tend to mess with them too much. So that's one of the pluses about doing that. They won't mess with it. Although they'll try, certainly. You know, after a first taste where they decide they don't like it, then they'll leave it alone. So I can't speak for all pets, but at least our cats don't really like it. So that's one of the nice things about bringing stuff in. You can, you know, we've put it various places from year to year, and, you know, made various different kinds of decorations. And it's, you know, it's certainly economical, you know, when you can just go in your back, you know, around the corner and get some stuff, tie a ribbon around it, and, you know, decorate your house. And, you know, it does help with, you know, just bringing that sense of the holiday into the house, especially around here. It was, you know, close to 50 degrees, and probably at Christmas, at Yuletide, we'll be lucky if the temperature is below 50. It just doesn't feel very Christmassy.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that Yuletide feeling. We don't ever get snow at this time of the year, so bringing evergreens into the house is really nice to help bring in that sense of the Yuletide, especially for those of us who live in climates that just aren't terribly cold at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I really think that it's wonderful that old traditions are continuing to carry on in the present day. And while pretty much these sacred plants of winter solstice that we've talked about, you know, the holly and the ivy and the oak and the evergreens and the wheat have roots that go way back in time, as do the citrus, because in the Mediterranean climates in ancient Rome and old Greece, clearly you were dealing with a different kind of climate, and so there is abundance and prosperity. So those have old roots as well. But whether the plants are from the ancient past or ones that have more recently been added to the mix, it's wonderful to be able to have that connection with nature and to have them be part of the tradition. I'd like to end by inviting all our listeners to imagine creating a circle of evergreens around you as a form of meditation, to be in the center of a circle of greens, and to hold in your hands a golden acorn representing the new year coming. And to hold in one's heart the promise of continuity and connection with the larger circle of nature of which we are all part. I want to give thanks to everyone who has listened live, who've contributed to live chat, To David and Jeanette, to those who posted to my Facebook. If you want to connect with more information about winter solstice, you can go to www.circlesanctuary.org. And on our main page, you'll not only see information about our winter solstice pageant on winter solstice night and our community Yule, but you'll find a section on celebrating winter solstice lore and rituals that, if you click on that link, will take you to a page with chants and articles and rituals and variety of materials that I put together as part of celebrating the season. I invite you all to stay tuned for our Pagan pre-show from Pagans Tonight, and give thanks to the Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and also invite you to tune in on Wednesday nights to listen to David and Jeanette and Pam on Pagan Warrior Radio, followed by a pagan music show that Pam does. May you all have a wonderful Yuletide, and I invite you to join me next week for more winter solstice cheer.
Let's dance with the trees. Let's dance with the trees. Let's dance with the trees and become one with the mother.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.